FBI were on scene. And of course, the biggest question throughout the course of this investigation is why.
Blocking a spending bill that has helped for Ukraine, demanding southern border security be included, Senate Republicans like Oklahoma's James Lankford.
We will not move to a national security bill that does security for other nations and ignores our own.
President Biden says he's willing to compromise, but Republicans aren't. December 7th, Thursday, is Pearl Harbor Day. Six survivors of the 1941 Japanese attack in Hawaii expected at a ceremony there. A quote from the late famed TV producer Norman Lear of All in the Family and More. Life is about having a good time, and it was a good time. This is ABC News. Social issue, ABC's Daria Albinger.
New Mexico's attorney general is suing Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, claiming it failed to protect underage users from exposure to child sexual abuse material.
2 months after he was ousted as Speaker of the House, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, California Republican, makes an announcement on the social media site X, quitting Congress.
While I'll be departing the House at the end of this year, I will never, ever give up fighting for this country that I love so much.
No specific plans announced. One of the famed Tuskegee Airmen has now been laid to rest. U.S. Army 2nd Lieutenant Fred Brewer Jr., Charlotte, North Carolina. He was 23 when flying a mission to Germany in 1944 with over 50 other planes. His didn't return. Remains were recovered after the war. Only now technology has been able to identify them. After a funeral, Brewer was buried at Salisbury National Cemetery in North Carolina. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
And corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Dom, a breaking news Wednesday. How you doing, fella?
I'm fantastic, Crute. Good to be with you in studio, as always. Nate, thank you for all the hard work you do. And our fair audience, happy, happy hump day. Today, a big news day.
Darcy would ask you, what studio are you in?
I'm in the Solidarity Realty studio, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keeping all our friends happy up around here. The Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios. And Dom, we got a fine guest coming in hour number two, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Originally, we thought we were going to talk about the redistricting, the gerrymandering lawsuit, and progress thereof. But some breaking news at the Washington Post demands our attention. Law Forward, instrumental in a settlement with the false Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin. And there are new indictments out of the state of Nevada. I think we should start here, Dom, because this a better headline as far as I'm concerned. Nevada grand jury indicts six pro-Trump fake electors. I wish that was the Post headline out of Wisconsin today, Dom.
Come on, Judge Call.
A Nevada grand jury has indicted six individuals who acted as fake electors in a scheme intended to overturn Joe Biden's 2020 election win, according to the state's attorney general. Dom, the indictments make Nevada the third state. One, two, three. Joining Michigan and Georgia to bring charges against those who served as fake pro-Trump electors after the 2020 election. And Dom, we name names, so let's do so. I've got the name of the defendants, the newly named defendants in Nevada. The six Nevada defendants charged as fake electors include Michael McDonald. He's a hell of a singer, isn't he? Jesse Law, Jim DeGraffin Reed, Duran James Hindle III, Sean Meehan, and Eileen Rice. Attorney General Aaron Ford's office released a short statement saying, and I quote, Dom, "We cannot allow attacks on democracy to go unchallenged. Today's indictments are the product of a long and thorough investigation. And as we pursue the prosecution, I am confident that our judicial system," I say that again, "our judicial system will see justice done." Dom, as part of the effort to help President Donald Trump be reelected, six Republicans in Nevada signed false electoral college votes in December of 2020 for Trump, who lost the state to Biden, according to special counsel's Jack Smith's federal indictment. The House Select Committee that investigated the January 6, 2021, and the Nevada Attorney General's office. You would wonder, why not Wisconsin? Why not you, Attorney General
That's
Josh Call?
That's a great question.
Nevada, why is today not Josh Call Day up in here?
Come on. Nevada is among at least five states, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that have launched criminal investigations into efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Two of those states, as mentioned, Michigan and Georgia, already brought criminal charges against some of the people who signed onto the alternative slates of fake electors, and more charges could be brought soon. So at least five states that we're aware of, well, perhaps, you know, there's an investigation going on that he's not talking about, Josh Call. Nevada's case ramped up after prosecutors secured the cooperation of a key witness, Kenneth Cheesebro, a lawyer who helped orchestrate the fake electors plot across multiple states. In late 2020, Cheesebro wrote a series of memos spelling out what the pro-Trump electors should do in their respective states. In one memo, Cheesebro acknowledged that he was promoting a controversial strategy that even the Supreme Court, with its conservative supermajority, would likely reject.
Dominic, I've got Washington Post reporting our friend Patrick Marley. His beat was the Journal Sentinel here in Wisconsin for years, and now he's moved on to bigger and better. But his beat is still Wisconsin, and he has included pictures of Cheesebro in the room with the false, the fake, the criminally conspiratorial Wisconsin fake electors, Tom.
Why is Wisconsin not one of these states investigating this as a criminal activity?
Well, the best we can do so far, and when I say we, I mean law forward, through their plaintiffs' actions, real Joe Biden electors in the state of Wisconsin, I believe our friend Karee Pennybaker amongst them, well, they filed suit against the criminally, conspiratorially false, fake Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin, a civil suit, not a criminal action.
Right.
And that was settled in part today with the 10 fake Trump electors here from the state of Wisconsin. Now, two defendants in this case, defendants in this civil action in the state of Wisconsin, are still out there on an island, Dom, and they include Jim Troupas. Troupas is an important character in the malfeasance of all things Republican in the state of Wisconsin. He is a former Walker appointee to the Dane County Court, and Troupas was the guy that led the recall efforts for Trump here in the state of Wisconsin, wanting to disenfranchise himself and his own wife, throw out their own votes, because, God bless it, they voted absentee, and you know, if necessary, to disenfranchise oneself for the greater good.
Oh, man, they'd be happy to martyr their own votes if they can get their orange dictator elected.
But I would point out, Cheesebro has not settled, and Troopus will never settle, I suspect. He'll take it to a court of law. The civil penalties here being sought, $200,000 from each of these defendants in the civil suit. And we've got fine reporting. Patrick Marley, I heard him across the Civic Media Network today on Todd's show earlier. Wisconsin Trump elector settled lawsuit, agree Biden won in 2020.
What? Biden won in 2020?
Dom, I want to start with the very last quote of this article. I want to start at the end.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't usually do that, but I find this to be the most sensational quote of this article. I'm going to read the last couple of paragraphs. So, you know, body of the work. Bear with me. Patrick Marley at the Post. He expressed similar doubts about Trump campaign plans in another text exchange before the electors met. And he, in this case, was at the time Republican Party Chairman Andrew Hitt, who is one of the defendants in the civil action that settled today. He texted this. Clearly, there is some big plan in the works with all the states still doing elector meetings. Dom, on January 5th, 2021, a day before the Capitol was attacked, as Congress met to certify the results, Wisconsin GOP staffer Alicia Gunther flew to Washington so she could deliver the elector paperwork for the Wisconsin Republicans. 5 minutes until I make the drop, she told Andrew Hitt in one text exchange. I feel like a drug dealer.
That kind of goes to the mindset, right? Why would you feel like a drug dealer making the drop? Does it feel like you're doing something, I don't know, call it illegal? Is that why you feel like a drug dealer?
Or? Almost like there's a guilty conscience going on. Right. And who indeed became the ultimate recipient of the fake elector votes from the great state of Wisconsin, Tom?
Well, wasn't it Rojo?
The receiver. Well, of course, it was U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who was more than willing to deliver not just Wisconsin's fraudulent conspiratorial. I think they should be charged for a criminal conspiracy. Not only was he willing, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, to deliver those to the vice president, but hell, somehow he got his hands on Michigan's. And those people have been charged by Attorney General Dana Nessel, someone who's got a few more cojones than our Attorney General has demonstrated to date. But Dana Nessel has criminally charged the fake electors in Michigan.
And in Georgia as well. And now, as reported today, Nevada also. And let's not forget Senator Ron Johnson, when, you know, asked about this. Well, it was only a couple of seconds, and it became, well, maybe a couple of minutes. You know, it was after, you know, less than an hour. And then while he was, like, being walked in the Capitol, he pretended to be on his phone so he wouldn't have to answer any questions by the media.
Yeah, Manu Raju from CNN. Sir, I can see your phone. Yeah. You're not talking on it. Come on, you know, because the screen actually shows a call when there's a caller on the screen, right?
Just a little bit here, Crudy. We can get back into it. You can join us as well, 844-967-2789.
I would remind the fine audience, we do have the plaintiff's attorney, Jeff Mandel, from Law Forward, coming in the 5 o'clock hour. So we can certainly get the rationale and the reason why this settlement was made, but I allow you to continue.
Wednesday's civil settlement marks the first time, the very first time, Crudy, pro-Trump electors have agreed to revoke their false filings and not repeat their actions in the next presidential election. It comes as Republicans in two other states face criminal charges for falsely claiming to be presidential electors. Well, that was before the breaking news today. Nevada now makes it three other states. Documents released as part of the settlement revealed one of the Wisconsin Republicans appeared to refer to the attempt to install Trump for a second term as a, quote, possible steal. Yeah, no wonder why he felt like a drug dealer. That Republicans expressed skepticism about the plan, but told others he was going along with it, in part because he feared he would face blowback from Trump supporters if he didn't. Lawsuit filed last year, as Kruti mentioned, by two of the rightful electors, alleged Republicans had taken part in a conspiracy to defraud voters and sought up to $200,000 from each elector. No money is being exchanged as part of the settlement. The Biden electors are continuing their lawsuit against attorneys who assisted the Wisconsin Republicans, Troupis, former Dane County judge who led Trump's recount effort, and Cheesebro, who advised Republicans around the country and pleaded guilty in October to conspiring to overturn Trump's win in Georgia. And remember when these documents were all came out? Well, they're all very similar. You know what I mean? It was like there was a template document provided by one of these attorneys for everyone to, you know, basically fill in the blank. I mean, of course this is a conspiracy. Of course this is a multi-state nationwide conspiracy. Come on, charge up, baby. Josh Call talking to you, man.
Feels like the very first time, though, doesn't it, Don? Now, this is a small step, I suggest. This settlement, this is not the final chapter of this story, Don. Certainly not for the false, criminally conspiratorial false electors here in the state of Wisconsin, I would hope, because there's still Jack Smith, there's still federal prosecution to look forward to, perhaps. But at this late hour, after this confession has been made, is it or is it not time for Bob Spindell to step down as a Wisconsin elections commissioner? I mean, long since, past due time.
Right. I mean, the guy admitted it, right? Step down. Get out of there. Come on.
Resign, Bob Spindell. You criminally conspiratorial insurrectionist instigator. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Happy Wednesday.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines anytime at 844-967-2789.
Dom, we will have more coverage of this breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. A civil settlement, the plaintiff suit against the fake, fraudulent, criminally conspiratorial Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin. Again, the civil suit has been settled against the 10 Trump false electors. But the instigators, the ringleaders, Jim Troupis and Kenneth Cheesebro, are still being sued in this matter. So we will have more coverage. Jeff Mandel, the plaintiff attorney, coming in the happy hour, 5 o'clock Central Time. Mark your calendar. Stick around. But Dom, yesterday we're talking about Trump the dictator.
Yes. A Greg Sargent piece saying, be vigilant, but, you know, we should be all right.
What's the worst that could happen, right?
What's the worst that could happen?
So, anyways, tonight, and mark your calendars in case you're interested, tonight, a big GOP presidential debate that nobody cares about. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We did not even inquire about credentials because we sure as hell weren't going to Tuscaloosa. And neither was Trump. Trump will not be there, Dom.
Trump cannot be there. Trump cannot. I mean, legally, he could, but anything he says will be used against him in the court of law. He can't possibly get on the stage and have, you know, some tough questions.
Would he be likewise constrained to have a conversation with Hannity, let's say on the Sean Hannity, town hall from Iowa last
night. If you're fluffing it up like Sean Hannity does, man, sure.
Now, I've heard you say this continuously. He should fear for criminal prosecution. Should he be on the debate stage? Should he really be doing nationally televised town halls? And the topic, even, let me give a modest amount of credit to Sean Hannity.
Really? Why?
On this topic, on this very topic, because A, he's got access to the former president and you and I don't. So he gets to ask the questions. And for just a second there, for just a moment, Hannity asked a follow-up question. I mean, there was a smattering of journalism going on.
Hell no. Hannity was trying to offer Trump the answer with the question. Yeah, I mean, it was kid gloves, man. Are you kidding me?
I think the audience should judge.
It was terrible. It was so bad even Steve Bannon apparently had an issue with it. So he brought up the dictator question.
If Bannon doesn't like it, we should
Sure, but just because Trump was so inept at taking what was offered to him by Hannity doesn't mean that Hannity asked a good question. Let's the audience be the judge on that. Nate, you did the hard work. Thank you, my friend. Let's play cut number three.
I would point out for the sake of the judges in the audience right now, there is a follow-up question coming.
Eventually. But they're both fluffers, man. I mean, come on.
Improve your lie, Judge Schmills. Winner rules.
Let's play cut three, please, Nate.
They want to call you a dictator. You use the words, I am your retribution. And now before that, you said if you've been wronged and you used other words as well. But I want to be very, very clear on this. To be clear, do you in any way have any plans whatsoever, if reelected president, to abuse power, to break the law, to use the government to go after people?
You mean like they're using right now? So in the history of our country.
That wasn't a no.
What's happened to us, again, has never happened before. Over nonsense, over nothing, made-up charges.
Made up.
I often say Al Capone, he was one of the greatest of all time, if you like criminals. He was a mob boss, the likes of which Scarface, they call him.
Obviously,
and he got
admirer.
Indicted once. I got indicted four times. I wonder what my father and mother would say
he
looking down.
He died in prison. How do you think it's going to turn out for you, Trump?
And Al Capone was indicted more than once, but nevertheless, the point being.
What about the kind notion that Fred Trump and his mom and dad are looking down from heaven? You and I both had a differing reaction.
Looking up, I think we both said at the same time hearing that clip. So, a fluffer question. Of course, the answer is, oh, absolutely not, Sean. That's what you should have said, but he didn't answer the question. Of course, like what they're doing now. Of course, the insinuation that the prosecution of Donald Trump right now is a political hit job. It is not. But Sean Hannity did ask a follow-up question, so I'll give him that. But again,
journalism light.
The fluff. Listen to this. Cut number four, please.
You would never abuse power as retribution
again
against anybody.
Except for day one.
Except for?
He's going crazy. Except for day one.
Meaning?
I want to close the border and I want to drill.
That's
drill,
not
a,
that's
drill.
That's not,
no, no.
That's not retribution.
I'm going to be, you know, he keeps. We love this guy. He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, other than day one.
I mean, all it takes is one day. Yes, he will be a dictator. And Sean Hannity, like, literally didn't ask the question. He made the statement, you will not do X, Y, and Z. Except for day one. I mean, Trump can't even take what's given to him, man. It doesn't make Hannity a great journalist. It just makes Trump a terrible candidate and human being.
I'll draw a distinction. Never claimed great journalist. More like journalist adjacent. At least he asked the follow-up question. Who else has asked the president, the former president, Donald Trump, dictator or no?
Yeah or no?
Yeah or no?
I mean, we're from Wisconsin here, man. Yeah or no?
And he's, yeah.
Yeah.
From day one.
I mean, so when he says it, we should believe him. And it'll only be one day.
I do believe him.
Only one day on Is that the purge day? You know what I mean? Is that the one day? And then after that, after the 24-hour purge of all the enemies of the state and the media and your political adversaries and the deep state and the FBI and the DOJ, and go on down the list of every single person who has aggrieved Trump in some way, some form, after that night, after the purge, then it'll be all straight up democracy from here on out.
If there's going to be a purge, I might take you out on day one.
You better watch your back, man. I've been watching you a long time, Crudy. I'll take the knees.
You're wearing flannel, not camouflage. I'd find you. What else are you wearing? Hail Satan?
Hail Santa, man. Come on.
Very similar notion.
You can't spell Santa without Satan.
844-967-2789. So
yes, dictator?
Ratings machine? Is he just playing to the... He's just pandering to the crowd. No, I believe him. But he's also pandering to the crowd. Like, I'm the kind of dictator you want. The day one dictator. Not a lollygag and wait till second term dictator.
No, day one. 24-hour purge dictator.
I won't even have time to golf. I'll be dictating so hard.
It will be the greatest dictating ever. You've never seen, no one's ever dictated like this. No one's ever seen anything like this before.
There'll
be so much dictating. You can't even possibly imagine how much. You'll be so sick of the dictating by the time I'm done dictating. There's so much. Yeah, I believe him. How about you? Does that disqualify anybody? I mean, should it? I mean, if anyone says, yeah, I'm going to be a dictator, shouldn't you, like, not vote for that person? Just throwing it out there.
Well, it's a little oxymoronic to think you would have to vote for the dictator, right? If a dictator's going to dictate, then get your own ass in there.
Well, good luck with that.
Don't you have a false elector scheme 2.0? Something? Something in your bag of tricks? Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Love to hear from you. Got Dom beside me. You could be on the phones. 844-967-2789. When a man says, I'm going to dictate from day one, I believe him. I believe it's time for you to call. Start dialing.
When someone asks you if you're a god, you say, yes!
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. At least three people are dead in a shooting at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas campus. Several others injured. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is there.
We do know that the shooter was killed in a shootout with police, has been identified, but police are not releasing that name at this point. ATF, the FBI, were on scene. And of course, the biggest question throughout the course of this investigation is why.
Blocking a spending bill that has helped for Ukraine, demanding southern border security be included. Senate Republicans, like Oklahoma's James Lankford.
We will not move to a national security bill that does security for other nations and ignores our own.
President Biden says he's willing to compromise, but Republicans aren't. December 7th, Thursday, is Pearl Harbor Day. Six survivors of the 1941 Japanese attack in Hawaii expected at a ceremony there. A quote from the late famed TV producer Norman Lear of All in the Family and More. Life is about having a good time, and it was a good time. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday. Included in those bills are a slate of changes to voting ahead of next year's election. One of those bills changes the deadlines for clerks to send out absentee ballots. Another would require clerks to retain video footage of election night proceedings for 22 months. Evers also vetoed several election-related bills, including one that would change who could be declared indefinitely confined and another that would have lowered the cost of registered voting lists. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 23. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs around 46. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 32. 1 to 2 inches of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 29.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a breaking news Wednesday edition. Damn! There has been a settlement in the fake elector suit here in the state of Wisconsin. We have the plaintiff's attorney coming in the 5 o'clock hour. He's Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. But we got some new breaking news. And this settlement may in fact advance the prosecution of the fake Trump electors and the two attorneys that apparently have been named as the ringleaders. They have not been included in the settlement. Talking about Jim Troupas, who is the center of all things malfeasant and evil on the Republican side here in the state of Wisconsin, and your buddy, Cheese Bro, the Bitcoin bro.
Don't be a cheese bro.
Who was in the Wisconsin state capitol, like one block from where we originate from today, on the day of the false electors. And this was after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had decided no legal avenue to overturn the outcome. Jim Troupas should have known that. He was, what, one of the attorneys in the suit trying to overturn 200,000 absentee ballots in the Dane in Milwaukee counties, you know, where most of the Dems are packed.
Right.
So, anyways, that's setting the stage for what this settlement could do, here's a Raw Story headline. Jack Smith, special counselor, was just handed valuable evidence from Wisconsin fake electors case. Sarah K. Burris reporting, fake electors in Wisconsin agreed today that President Joe Biden won the 2020 election, and an expert predicts that special counsel Jack Smith is already planning to use this admission in his federal investigation. Donald Trump has already been indicted for the attempt to overthrow the 2020 election. And Just Securities, Ryan Goodman explained the 10 fake electors, as part of their agreement in settling a civil trial, had pledged to aid the federal probe of the former president. Among the statements the electors made, Goodman said, are one, we were told our action was contingent on court victories. Kenneth Cheeseborough, etc., plan to use them regardless. Two, certified docs were used to improperly overturn the election. And three, we were not duly elected. No, the fake electors were not.
No, they weren't.
Dom, this is essentially the argument being used by Smith for his case against Donald Trump. It puts Kenneth Cheeseborough and Rudy Giuliani in deep trouble, too, Goodman said. The media thread, Dom, especially with these 10 witnesses' willingness to cooperate and the like, it raises an obvious question. Why Wisconsin authorities, see the attorney general and DAs, are not investigating Cheeseborough and others?
That's a great question.
The outsiders who allegedly came into their state's political process to overturn the popular vote. Now, Dom, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call told WKOW in 2022 that he was waiting to see what the federal investigations did on the fake electors before he acted.
Are we still waiting, Josh?
Goodman posted screen captures of the text messages sent by some of the fake electors in which they admitted they didn't expect to be actually counted. Another said that their document wasn't valid unless the courts ruled, and we meant cast ballots, but it wasn't official because it couldn't be. The most incriminating, he said, was a text that said, "This is insane. If you received a favorable court ruling, you could do it after? Who's coming up with this?" Well, Kenneth Cheeseborough.
Of course.
And Jim Troupas.
The fake elector crudy replied, "They don't want to have a technicality mess up the possible steal, RPW and Trump lawyers. They don't want to have a technicality mess up the steal, crudy. The steal. Not stop the steal, but trying to steal it from Biden."
What else from the RPW, the Republican Party of Wisconsin?
Yeah. A quote from the executive director, Mark Jefferson. "I suppose we could just put out a statement that says preserving our role in the electoral process still under legal challenges." That's what Mark Jefferson said in an email. "And assuming the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules before noon," which they did, "we change it to, quote, while President Trump's campaign evaluates his legal options."
Well, that might have made it less legally incriminating had they included some of those asterisks or buts, Dom.
"They assumed the Wisconsin Supreme Court was going to rule against them," Goodman suggests. "It also adds further evidence some of these individuals were prepared to barrel ahead with a false elector certificate scheme, even if the courts did," that's a rule against them. An email from Cheeseborough to Brian Schimming. Brian Schimming, well, he's the current head of the Republican Party in Wisconsin.
Yes, he is. Very implicated in this matter, Dom.
An email from Cheeseborough to Schimming heralded a statement written for Judge Jim Troupas to put out about the meeting of fake electors. Cheeseborough loved the phrasing, which read, "As the legal proceedings arise from the November 3rd presidential election continue to work their way through the Wisconsin court system, he advised the party to move forward with the fake electors. Given the results in Wisconsin are still in doubt with legal arguments that have yet to be decided," the letter continues, "the results weren't really in doubt by anyone other than Trump's team." And, of course, I would surmise, Curtis, that they knew that the results were fine. They were not in doubt. And there was an effort, of course, to throw out, disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of voters. On December 14th of 2020, the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the Trump's campaign challenge to the election. The following day, Cheeseborough sent further instructions on the next steps to ensure the fake electors could make it to the president of the Senate, Mike Pence, on January 6th.
Just might have to have a wingman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Mm-hmm. A willing... Is he a dupe? Dupe implies he's not in on it.
Oh, he's in on it. Come on. I mean, he may act like he doesn't know, but he knew. He knew. Again, back to a little bit of the reporting from Patrick Marley at the Washington Post about this civil lawsuit settlement. The records also show that these Republicans, these false electors, tried to keep their meeting out of the public eye, changing which room the state capitol they would meet in to avoid passing the office of a Democratic lawmaker whose staff might recognize them. And this was new news to me, Michael. They brought a 4-man armed security team with them, according to their text messages. So why are you...
Why do you need pistolas?
Why do you have armed guards? Why do you feel like a drug dealer? You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
Are you even allowed to bring a gun in the Wisconsin State Capitol? Because let's not forget, there was a man that approached the Wisconsin governor very recently, an armed man. And both Robin Voss and Governor Tony Evers effectively said there won't be metal detectors in this building. Well, little did we know, Robin Voss was trying to, you know, make a contingency plan unless they needed to arm up and bring more fake Trump electors in 2024, Don.
Very interesting tidbits.
Well, you know what's even more interesting, at least my opinion, Don? The Republican reaction, you know, as this news is breaking at the Washington Post nationally, of course, it's getting local coverage right here on the Devil's Advocates, etc. But the Wisconsin Republicans this week have proposed eliminating the Wisconsin Elections Commission because, you know, they rigged the fair elections here in the state of Wisconsin that showed an outcome where Trump was not the president. So
can't have that.
The Elections Commission must go. I don't hear a single Republican speaking up to say Bob Spindell, the fake Trump elector, who's currently a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, he must go. He should resign or be fired or be impeached. I don't hear any calls for that. But your senator won special election very recently, Dan Knoedel, Dom, him and some jacknut buddies over at the Wisconsin Republican-controlled legislature. They got a proposition.
They got a plan.
And former friend of the Devil's Advocates, Ron Johnson, he's down for this plan, Dom. You know, maybe today is not the day, Ron, where you should be talking about eliminating elections commissions, but, you know, we'll let Jack Smith deal with you soon, I hope. The headline at the Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck, Lawrence Andrea, top Wisconsin Republicans give mixed reviews on abolishing the elections commission. Not Rojo. Wisconsin's top Republican on Capitol Hill this week indicated support for a new proposal to dissolve the state's bipartisan elections commission and give its powers to the Secretary of State's office. And here's the caveat, with the oversight from the GOP-controlled legislature.
No, thank you.
So in other words, Robin Voss's control of administering elections going forward. But others in his party have been skeptical of the plan to abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Wednesday he did not support it, casting doubt on the effort's prospects. I've been consistent since the 2020 election saying I think the state legislature needs to reclaim its constitutional authority over federal elections. According to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, I've heard him say this before now.
Mm-hmm.
How they do that, I'll leave it up to them. But I think WEC is out of control. I think this plan is out of control, Ron.
You're out of order.
A little bit more here. The proposal released Monday by Senate Elections Committee Chairman Dan Knoedel, Dom's senator, and 10 other Assembly Republicans would require Dom, Democratic Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski to take over the Elections Commission administration duties by June 30th, about 5 months before the 2024 presidential. But they don't really expect her to do any of the work, Dom, because they're going to oversee her work, right? Under the measure, Godlewski's actions would require the approval of the Republican-controlled Legislative Committee on Elections. So Dan Knoedel gets to decide if Sarah Godlewski is doing what Robin Voss wants her to do with the administration of elections that used to be free and fair here in the state of Wisconsin. Dom, it is the latest attempt from Republicans to overhaul Wisconsin runs its elections ahead of the 2024. And it comes as the Wisconsin Elections Commission has faced continued criticism fueled by false claims by former President Donald Trump about Wisconsin's system of elections and for policies elections commissioners approved to navigate hurdles presented by the coronavirus pandemic.
A bipartisan election commission. Crudy, still the disagreement over whether to abolish the commission highlights the divide within the Republican Party in a key battleground state over how to run its elections as the presidential contest is well underway. A quote, I think the Wisconsin Election Commission has lost its way. Freshman Republican U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden told the Journal Sentinel this week, when I ran in 2022, I said it needs to go away because a lot of stuff that they did didn't comport with Wisconsin state law for elections. The problem is, and right or wrong, and yes or no, a lot of people have lost confidence in our voting system, Van Orden added. I want people to have confidence in our voting system. Well, perhaps if guys like you would, you know, show that there's nothing really wrong with our voting system, they would have confidence in. If you stood up, Van Orden and Republicans, and said, yes, all the decisions made by the bipartisan commission were made, you know, obviously during a pandemic, those Republicans and conservatives and Democrats and liberals, they decided what to do. And Megan Wolf, the administrator of the WEC, she followed through and did their bidding as she was instructed. That's what the job entails. The Journal Sentinel goes on, asked for specific ways WEC did not comply with the law. Van Orden said, getting rid of witness requirements for absentee ballots is a big deal. It's a big deal. The commission, however, did not get rid of such requirements, but rather issued guidance in 2016 that allows clerks to fix witness certificate errors without contacting voters. A Waukesha County judge later said that practice was unlawful. While the assembly authors of the proposal said Monday their bill seeks to ensure a more streamlined and accountable electoral process, other top Republicans, including at least one federal lawmaker, appear to have concerns about the plan. At first blush, I wouldn't support that idea at all. U.S. Rep. Scott Fitzgerald.
And I would point out, Scott Fitzgerald was a willing co-conspirator in getting the fake electors in the Wisconsin state capitol while he was still a state senator, right? Helped him get a room.
Yes, he was the leader of the state senate when the six-member bipartisan commission was created by Republican lawmakers in 2015 to replace the Government Accountability Board, which Republicans viewed as biased against them. Well, there's this bias because they were investigating what Scott Walker's shenanigans. Fitzgerald raised concerns about having a partisan official in Godlewski, despite the oversight from legislative Republicans, and said he saw value in having an equal number of Democrats and Republicans on an election commission. It was created in 2015 by Republican lawmakers, including Fitzgerald and Republican U.S. Rep. Tom Tiffany, who were state senators at the time. The law created a six-member bipartisan panel of commissioners to oversee the agency's work. Each vote of the commission must include members of both political parties to be successful.
Couple of more quick quotes from Fitzgerald. I don't think it would work in Wisconsin because we don't have a history of a Secretary of State being nonpartisan. Doesn't bother Republicans elsewhere. I guess I wouldn't consider it a serious proposal at this point. Nor I, Dom.
Nope, that's not going anywhere.
Evers will veto. More devil's advocates. And Rojo has blocked the aid to Ukraine and Israel. Ain't he special? More devils.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take, as always, at 844-967-2789. Stick around for the happy hour. Jeff Mandel, plaintiff's attorneys in the civil lawsuit that was settled from, he's from Law Forward. He will join us at 5 o'clock.
Dominic, I've got a headline at the Washington Post. President Joe Biden appeals for Ukraine aid, calls reluctance of Congress stunning. Well, you should consider who the source of the reluctance is. Why, it's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from the state of Wisconsin, right, Dom? Who has made a recent point that he's going to tie all aid to the Ukraine and Israel to border security. Wants to build that wall. Apparently, Mexico's not paying for it now, Dom.
Oh, I thought they were.
If we don't make provisions, then it is my understanding Ron Johnson's going to make it very difficult for the U.S. government to fund this foreign aid. A little bit on what Biden had to say. President Biden made an urgent plea to congressional lawmakers today to pass billions of dollars in Ukraine aid, warning that a failure to do so would hand Russian President Vladimir Putin a victory and embolden him to invade European countries beyond the Ukraine. Biden said, here's a quote, this cannot wait. It's stunning that we've gotten to this point in the first place. Republicans in Congress that are willing to give Putin the greatest gift he could hope for and abandon our global leadership, just not in Ukraine, but beyond it. Now, the White House has warned it will run out of funding for Ukraine by the end of the year, stressing that it does have the money, does not have the money elsewhere that it can allocate to the war without congressional approval. And the president's remarks Wednesday came shortly after Biden met virtually with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and the leaders of the Group of Seven industrialized democracies. Biden said European leaders, who also face pressure from their citizens as the war contributes to rising food and energy costs, were prepared to maintain support for Ukraine, though he suggested that might change if the United States bows out. If Putin takes Ukraine, he won't stop there. It's important to see the long run here. He's going to keep going. If he moves into other parts of NATO, make no mistake, today's vote is going to be long remembered. History is going to judge harshly those who turn their back on the freedom cause. Well, I would point at U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, the prime obstructionist. Him and Mike Lee, I believe from Utah, Senator Republican, I think they are the prime blockers of this action, Dom. Now, there was a vote today, and this vote was to what? Clarify what the vote was.
Yeah, from the Hill, Senate Republicans Wednesday blocked a bill to provide aid to Ukraine and Israel over a lack of border provisions in the measure. Senators voted 49 to 51, failing to reach the 60-vote threshold that would allow the proposal to come up for consideration. Our pal, Senator Bernie Sanders, voted with every Republican against the measure. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer flipped his vote to no so he could bring up the bill again in the future. The $111 billion emergency supplemental package requested by Biden also included aid for the Indo-Pacific region, as well as funding for humanitarian aid in Gaza, the border, and to combat fentanyl trafficking. Despite their support for most of those items, Senate Republicans have insisted for weeks they would withhold their votes on the motion to proceed if the bill didn't have a satisfactory border remedy attached.
$15 billion is not enough for you, Ron?
Senators James Lankford and Chris Murphy had led border discussions over the past month, but those languished last week before Murphy and the Democrats walked away from the table, arguing Republicans were asking for too much. This situation, according to The Hill, has upset both sides. Why hold up Ukraine aid if they can't even present a border package that can pass the Senate? Schumer said on the floor earlier Wednesday. We are asking ourselves this question. Has border been nothing more than an excuse for the hard right to kill funding for Ukraine? And too many other Republican senators who are not part of the hard right are going along? Question mark. I hope that's not true. Senate Republicans, meanwhile, have accused Democrats of not taking their concerns to heart when they made their position clear all along. John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, I don't think they are taking us seriously enough. It may take a failed cloture vote for them to realize we're serious and we're prepared to do that. While Senate Republicans are supportive of border action, part of their incentive to attach it to the supplemental resides across the Capitol. House conservatives, many of who are skeptical of Ukraine aid as it is, says a border fix is a prerequisite for their votes. Mega Mike Johnson, the speaker, told Senate Republicans last week as much of H.R. 2, the House passed conservative border proposal, shouldn't be included as possible. Senate Dems have labeled the items included in H.R. 2 a non-starter. Talks between the two sides centered on asylum and people, with the group making progress on the former item. But just as they did so, progressive members and activists cried foul and warned Democratic negotiators about significantly curtailing asylum and parole claims. So, yeah, here we go. 844-967-2789.
Just give Ukraine to Putin.
Yeah, it's
What's fine. The worst that could happen?
Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And Drew, you brought up the point I would make is why is Bob Svendal not resigned after he confessed to his crimes in the fake electors thing? I mean, this whole thing of having armed guards and the whole secrecy involved in their little action on that day, it proves that they were attempting to, you know, follow through with this conspiracy. I mean, that...
It felt like a drug deal, Mark. I mean, that's what one of the young staffers said as she delivered these fraudulent fake electors, apparently off the U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's office in D.C., felt like a drug deal.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. And Josh called, you know, like I've said many times before, Josh called needs to start prosecuting these people. And Bob Svendal, if he had any dignity or honor whatsoever, he would resign off the Elections Commission.
I'm not clear that he has either of those things.
keep hoping, Mark. Keep hoping, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
I absolutely think Bob Svendal should be out.
Yes.
Now, I think it's ironic that Wisconsin Republican legislative leaders have this new counter proposal. They're going to empower the Democratic Secretary of State under the direct control of the Republican-controlled legislature. But the question becomes, are the maps going to change? And we've got Jeff Mandel. He is the plaintiff's attorney for the fake electors probe that settled here in the state of Wisconsin. But he's also the plaintiff's attorney in the gerrymandering suit that went before the Wisconsin Supreme Court very recently.
Law Forward, very busy these days.
Oh, yeah. They're doing the God's work, Dom. So Jeff Mandel will be our guest next. It's going to be a happy hour indeed. You're going to want to stick around for that. And your calls, they're always welcome here. 844-967-2789. And failure to fund Ukraine, failure to fund Israel. If you're looking for a specific U.S. senator to blame, I would say Ron Johnson. He's your man. Come back. More Devils.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Strongest criticism of former President Trump at the Wednesday night News Nation debate of four Republican presidential contenders was from former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
He is unfit. This is a guy who just said this past week that he wants to use the Department of Justice to go after his enemies when he gets in there.
Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley.
As much as everybody wants to talk about how Donald Trump had a good economy,